Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. The Reverend Roy Askins is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The reading from Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of his church, his own body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Prior to my own wedding, I had actually attended very few weddings, and so I was not familiar with many of the traditions that go along with weddings. Therefore, on my wedding day, I was therefore unaware of the absurd tradition that the groom was not allowed to see the bride, lest it bestow some sort of bad luck on the marriage. I was, needless to say, a bit torqued. Being caught unawares, I was uncertain how to respond and maintained my silence. But to this day, I think I probably should have denounced the tradition for the absurdity that it is and promptly transgressed it. I'm actually proud to say, or happy to say, that I'm seeing many more young couples do that very thing, and I encourage it. We need to get rid of this horrible tradition. In looking at marriage, however, it's fascinating to read how when Jesus prepares his bride for marriage, he does it in ways that do not simply transgress modern marriage traditions, but in ways that we could actually not condone. I mean, look what he does for his bride. In preparing her for marriage, he washes her. He purifies her. He makes the dress himself, and he dresses her, and he adorns her with his very own righteousness. For what purpose? So that he might present her to himself without spot or blemish. Now, obviously, this would be really weird and inappropriate to build traditions around such things, and I'm not encouraging you to try a new wedding tradition. But the point here is this, that Jesus does everything. The church can't wash herself. She cannot prepare herself. She cannot clean herself up. She cannot dress herself. He does it all for her that she might be perfect and without spot, that she might be without blemish, the text says. Now, the background for all of this language actually comes from the Old Testament and prophets such as Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, God talks about how he finds Israel as a newborn daughter that has been left out to die. She's still covered in the afterbirth, dirty and disgusting. And he takes this newborn child and he washes her. And he provides for her a home. And he dresses her and adorns her as a beautiful bride. But what does she do? Rather than remain faithful to her Savior, to the one who has cleaned her, she goes out and plays around with other men, does horrible, vile things. And yet, after all her shameful deeds and the suffering she must endure as a consequence of this, what does God do? God still promises to create an eternal covenant with her, and then he says that he will atone for all that you have done. He himself atones for Israel's sins. After he has taken her out of the dirt and muck and cleaned her and made her his own, and she lived this horrible life, he still promises to atone for her and take care of her sin. What love. What love. that even after the bride has gone and done horrible, vile acts, her bridegroom welcomes her back, cleanses her, and presents her to himself spotless and without blemish. And so it is that we look back on our lives of want and wandering and return to this household of God. And what does he do? He welcomes us back with open arms, reminds us that we also have been washed in the same water, cleansed in this same way, that he loved us so much that he gave his very life for us. Now I ask you, what wife would not gladly submit to such a husband as the church submits to Christ? What bride, after having recognized the horrors of her own sins, would not gladly rest and submit in the arms of a husband who welcomes her back and cleanses her so that she can once again be perfect in radiant white? Of course we would. And what a husband who, out of such love, sacrifices his own life to bring this bride back, to purify her, that she might be perfect. He does not go and find another bride, one who is more faithful, or one who is better, or one who is more obedient. He loves his own wife and desires nothing less than that she be perfect, and sacrifices himself so that it would be so. What a profound mystery indeed. Our reading today from Ephesians chapter 5 finds itself at odds with the world around us, and oftentimes even at odds with those in the church. St. Paul uses language of marriage, of the relationship between a husband and wife, in ways that don't seem all that egalitarian and the way we would want to speak of such things. St. Paul speaks of submission and order, of love and sacrifice. Rather than these terms that St. Paul uses, the world so often frames this passage in ways that relate to personal fulfillment and personal desires, of personal rights, and therefore also of law and sin. You sinned against me, therefore I'm going to extract my rights from you. Rather than the context of St. Paul here, which is the context of gospel and forgiveness. As God in Christ has forgiven me, so also, therefore, I will forgive you. Now, indeed, there's no getting around St. Paul's law teaching here. He does, in fact, use law words. He does, in fact, say submission and order. Wives are to submit to their husbands and everything. This word has a military connotation. Soldiers order their lives under their commanding officers. So also wives order their lives under their husband. This is how he speaks. Husbands, you are to love and sacrifice. You are to love your wife in such a way that she desires and longs to submit to you. Love your life in the way of Christ, who, though she lived a profligate life, gave his life for his bride to cleanse her and make her his own. So also, husbands, you do not live for your own selfishness and your own desires, but for her. Once again, in other words, you love her so that her submission is a joy and a delight, a privilege. Now, indeed, both husbands and wives will fail at this. Wives, part of your curse is that you desire your husband's leadership. Husbands, at times you will be selfish. You will abdicate your responsibilities and not lead the household as God has called you to do. At such times, repent. Repent and remember that you are within a profound mystery in this marriage. And the profound mystery of marriage that you share reflects the profound mystery of your life in the church. Christ has made you, his bride, perfect. He died that you might have forgiveness, that you might stand before him in resplendent white, not off-white, not eggshell, not the red of your own sins, but in white, perfect white, washed in his own blood. That is his own righteousness. That is to say, in the context of Ephesians, he has chosen you from the foundation of the world to be his children, inheritors of his promise, children of the promise. And he has bound you together in the Holy Spirit through the bond of peace. And you, who have been blessed with the gift of marriage, now live a small piece of this joy, a small reflection of this life together as husband and wife. Therefore, repent to one another. Forgive one another as God has in Christ forgiven you. Love one another as God in Christ loves you. And his promise for you, whether you live in marriage now or do not, is that all those who cling to him will one day stand in the wedding hall and participate in the heavenly wedding feast, so well described by Philip Nicolai in our hymn today, and it is with those words that I will leave you. Now let all the heavens adore thee, let saints and angels sing before thee with harp and cymbals' clearest tone. Of one pearl each shining portal, where joining with the choir immortal, we gather round thy radiant throne. No eye has seen the light, no ear has heard the might of thy glory, therefore will we eternally sing hymns of joy and praise to thee. In the name of Jesus, amen.